I speak to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. You may not know it, but today is the ancient and venerable Feast of the Church, Seminarian Sunday. The Sunday after Easter. It actually occurs a couple other times in the year. The Sunday after Christmas, and sometimes Trinity Sunday as well. On this Sunday, it's customary for the rector and the associate rector, tired after an arduous Holy Week, to task the seminarian, the eager seminarian, if the congregation is lucky enough to have one, of course, with preaching. Now, it's customary on this day to hear something about doubting Thomas. The seminarian will often speak to the congregation about his or her own doubts, about how what they've learned in seminary or divinity school has shaken up their faith, or maybe torn it down a bit, and how this has led them into a more enlightened form of religion, one that has ample room for doubt and for questioning. There's a lot to that message. It's an important one to hear about doubt, about questioning. But it's too easy to beat up on Thomas, to see him as the only one doubting in this story. Just look at the other apostles. What are they doing? They're in a room, they're in fear, and they've bolted the doors. They're locked up in fear in this room. And this is the night of Easter. Why is this the case? Well, on the one hand, the text says that they're locked up for fear of the Jews. And here we have to make an important but small point, that they themselves are Jews, and that the word for Jews is actually Judeans. It actually refers more to the authorities among the people, not to the Jews as a religious or cultural group that we associate that term with today. But still, if they're afraid of the authorities, of the Judean authorities, why are they in fear? Isn't this the same people who have Peter and John among them, who have seen the empty tomb with Mary Magdalene? Hasn't the risen Lord appeared to Mary Magdalene, and she proclaims to the disciples what she saw? And don't they, in light of those experiences, remember those times Jesus said really strange things, like, the temple must be torn down and then built back up after 3 days, or the only sign this generation will have is the sign of Jonah, referring to Jonah being in the fish for 3 days before returning. Don't they remember all those odd things Jesus said and put the pieces together with that empty tomb, with that risen Christ that Mary saw? Seemingly, the disciples, the apostles, have enough evidence to come to the right conclusion. But no, they're locked up in fear and with bolted doors. This gathered community, that nascent church, is one of fear and of locked doors. Some of you here today, you might have doubts like more like Thomas. You may need some evidence or an experience to sustain your wilting faith. But I suspect many more of you are like those apostles. You've heard the proclamation that Christ is risen. Maybe you've seen evidence of it, yet you still are fearful, yet you still are doubtful, maybe even bolted up. At least that's my experience some of the time. You may think because I'm a seminarian, I have things all figured out. I'm going to seminary, I'm hoping to become a priest, I'm dedicating my life to the church. But there's often times where God feels distant, maybe even still in the tomb. There's times where I'm doubtful about the future in store for me, or fearful of what my vocation, what my call will entail. If the doors aren't bolted for me, at least they're shut part of the time. And I imagine many of you out there, you have similar experiences. You have your own rooms, your own doors that are bolted shut, your own fears and your own doubts. So what does Jesus do about this? Well, he doesn't come up to the door, see that it's bolted, sense the palpable fear, and turn around. No, he shows up right in the middle of that room. He somehow comes right through those doors and appears in their midst. And when he's there, he doesn't chastise the disciples. He doesn't chew them out for their fear, for their bolted doors. No, he says, "Peace be with you." And then even more, he breathes his spirit upon them and gives them the authority to forgive sins. Isn't that something? He comes in, his presence is there, then he gives them a share in his spirit and he gives them authority. That's grace. That's a lot of grace that is being given to this fearful, doubtful group of people. And in this sense, Thomas himself actually has more faith than the apostles in that locked room. Thomas isn't there in that locked room when Jesus appears, and he doesn't believe what he's heard about what happened to them. Yet he shows up the next week. He shows up and encounters the risen Christ, and he sees the wounds on Christ's body and confesses that Christ is Lord and is God. Even though he doubts, he's still showing up. This reminds me of when I was serving at the Episcopal chaplaincy at Rutgers University. It's a story that the chaplain told me. He told me of this student who he'd taken some philosophy class or something and decided that he didn't believe in God anymore. So he set up a meeting with the chaplain and told him, "Well, Chaplain Greg, I don't think I believe in God anymore. I'm sorry to tell you that." The chaplain said, "Oh, okay. You know that a lot of people when they're 19, they give up on faith, they stop going to church. It's going to be interesting how God plays with this one." The student said, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Well, you know, this is just an interesting situation. It's going to be something to see what God does with this." The student kind of left confused. But then the interesting thing is the student kept coming back week after week. This is a student who had renounced his faith or was at best an agnostic, yet he still was showing up. Isn't that an interesting way in which God broke through those closed doors? Even though that student thought the doors were bolted, Christ was still coming in there and still making that student a doubtful Thomas who would show up week after week to encounter the risen Lord in the table, in the community, the two places where Christ continually promises he will be with us at the table and when two or three are gathered. So as we go forward into this Easter season, I pray that we would continue to encounter the risen Christ there, that we would continue to show up and know that Christ has the power to come inside our bolted doors. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.